This is the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. The following lecture titled Responsibility, a Crucial Concern for a People Pursuing Business Establishment, was recorded Wednesday, March the 11th, the year 2001, at Prince George Community College in Largo, Maryland. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader.
I greet you with the greetings of all Muslims on this earth, over 1.25 billion now. Assalamu alaikum. We praise God, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, who is the Lord, the sustainer of all the world, and who have made everything that we can see with our physical eyes for our own benefit, not for him. He made it for us. He says, whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth, that he has made it all to be of service to his Khalifa. His Khalifa. And that first Khalifa was Adam, the prophet. The first of the prophets, Adam. Not really mentioned as a prophet, but mentioned as our father, our first father. He said that he has made everything in the sky and in the earth to yield its benefit to the man he created so that it would be useful and beneficial for all descendants and children of that man. That means us. That's all of us. That's us. So when we look at this vast creation of God, and just try to imagine that God says to you, all of this is made for you. If you who know Arabic, Quranic Arabic, سَحْرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That made whatever you see in the skies and whatever you see in the earth to be of service to you, of benefit and service to you, to yield its benefit and service to you. And if you recall the story of the creation of Adam, God said to the angels, before he told the angels and man that he made all of this for human beings, or for the man, he told the angels, when I have breathed into him of my own ruach, translated spirit, then you make your submission to him. So God even ordered the angels to make submission, yield to the man that he was making. And God says to Satan, who rejected the man, only Satan rejected the man. Satan was not called Satan at that time, he was called Iblis, one of the angels that was in the lead for the rest of the angels in the heavens. So God says to him, says, what's the matter with you that you don't accept the human being that I have made with my two hands? Now mind you, with my two hands. Then God says of his two hands, he says that he controls, has everything in the control of his two hands. Yadayhi, two hands. Everything is in his two hands, God's two hands. Two controls, that's what it means. God, two controls. Everything is in the hands of his two controls. He said everything. That's in the Quran. He said everything. So that means this vast world that we see in the skies and hidden down here where we are, including ourselves, God made it with his two hands. And then he says to Satan, what's the matter with you that you don't yield to the man that I made with my two hands? So God used all his, both his controls that he used to make the creation, that world, and also human beings. He used both of those to make his man. That man must be very special. That the two hands that control everything were used when he made the human being, man. Which says, again, that he made human beings to benefit from the whole of his creation, from everything that he has created. We live in a time when we see the reality of that capacity, that potential in man. It is modern civilization, the West, given its start by Islam, by Muhammad the Prophet, the Quran, and the thinkers who heard the message of the Quran and heard the Prophet's preaching and became scientists. They gave the West, America, Europe, the West, its star. But look what the West has done. The West has focused on the sky, and they have brought useful things from the sky to us. They send spaceships to visit different bodies in the heavens, and they bring material from the surface that they visit. They are studying the atmosphere or the environment on those objects in the sky. So they are really doing what God invited man to do when he created the first man, Adam, and that is make good use of all that he has created. We know the sun energy is harnessed now to reduce the cost of heating, certain facilities, and when gas prices up like they're up, I hope they will study that more and bring me some of those reflectors, and I'll put them in my house, bring that gas bill down. So everything is working in accord with what God has revealed, and that's what we should realize. People are waiting for a miracle. Oh, if they could show us some miracles like Moses, people witnessed, maybe we'll believe in God. We could see the Red Sea part. That's nothing. That's child's play to what's going on today. The parting of the Red Sea. That's nothing. I don't want to see any Red Sea part. I want to see how to make a television to show a human being in my living room, and he's on the other side of the world, and I look at him and I hear him speak just as though he's right in my own living room. That's a bigger miracle to me than the problem of the Red Sea. Now, I'm speaking as a common sense man. If I speak as you, ma'am, I say something different. One addresses psychology. The problem of the Red Sea addresses psychology. But I'm talking about technology, science and technology. And science and technology is about the biggest miracle I know of in these modern times. Now, why have I gone to that big extreme to address you for a few minutes here? Because that's where it's to start. When you wake up and open your eyes outside, God shows you a big world. God shows you a big world with the eyes he created for you. You see the sky, and it's unlimited. Science, with all of its powerful telescopes, it cannot see the end of this world. So actually, the greatest scientist, astronomer, or whatever, with the greatest help that science and technology can give him, is in the same position that you are in, and your little boy and your little girl are in. When you and your little boy and little girl step out of your doors to look at this world that God made, you can see what you see, and they can see what you see, and beyond what you see. But neither the scientist nor you, the common person, can see the boundaries or the limits of this creation. And some of us want to see God, and it ain't possible for us to see the end of what we're looking at. We can't even see the end of what we can see, and we want to see God. Well, I think a few of you out there in the audience right now, and whenever I get a chance, I sure will try to help you, free you like I'm free. Because I know once you're free like I'm free, you're going to make a difference on this earth for good people. Maybe not for bad people, but for good people for sure. Yes. God says, that's what he says to us in the Quran. In English, no sight can catch him. No sight can catch him. And he says in another place, look at my creation and tell me what flaws you see, what mistakes you see in it. Now, this ain't talking to the fool. God wouldn't invite a fool to examine his works. So a lot of you all are out of the question is not meant for you. Yeah, I see a flaw in it. You don't have the brain to know the difference between the flaw and the sign. The wise look at what you call a flaw and they see that's God's sign. That's the sign. But when they conceive the whole picture, when they get the whole picture, perceive the whole picture, no flaw, a perfect creation. You can't improve upon it. It's a perfect creation. And to show you how wonderful this creation is, God says, in the next life, when we get the new life, we will look at it and we say, this looks like what we saw before. This resembles what we were in before. So God is telling you, my creation is good enough as I created. You just need to be awakened in a new perception of it. Now, don't tell everybody that now.
Thank you.
And then you'll have heaven. Heaven while you live. In a life that will be eternal. Eternal. Without sickness, without trouble, without worry, all that will be gone. Would you believe I'm already in there? I'm not affected by sickness, by trouble. God has given me a protection inside here. No trouble, no sickness can get inside there. This body could be burnt alive, but inside will not be affected. God knows that. God has made me like that. And it took more than 55 years to make me like that. But I'm like that now, thank God. So I'm already in heaven. And I know when this is gone and nothing, it won't affect what's in here. Because it's not affecting it now. Praise be to Allah. So let us see the big picture first. Now we don't have time to bring us from day zero to the present time, 2001, here in March 10th. We don't have time to do that. So we'll just make a quick trip, okay? Realizing that I'm leaving out many important scenes from zero day to now. Okay. The next scene we want to see is the world market today. The world market, not too long ago, was determined mostly what you could buy in the market. Was determined mostly by the industrial nations. Now it's not. You can buy products from the third world in your most attractive or strongest stores that you have in Washington, D.C., Chicago, L.A., wherever, New York City. We can go to the marketplace and we can buy products from small developing countries and from those countries that are not even yet identified as developing countries. We can buy their products. I was surprised when I bought a piece of clothing. And I got home and I looked to see where it was made. It was made in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is not a country that you look for things like that. You don't look for manufacturing there. But Saudi Arabia has opened its doors, or its borders, to working people, business people and working people. And they have come to Saudi Arabia and established their businesses from the surrounding area, those countries close to Saudi Arabia, but also far distance away, like Asia, from Asia, and Europe and other places, even America. In fact, one of our brothers here in this community has a big quantity of his products in Saudi Arabia that we could buy at the store, the spice. A spice line, seasoning. Bangladesh, you can buy cat from the United States of America who comes out to us here, who is looking at see where it was made, Bangladesh. So we have now what the business world is describing as the global market. Global market. This is a new change in business. I was trained when I visited Red China with the U.S. Friendship Group, the U.S. People, China People Friendship Group, before I became leader in this community. I visited them. But I was interested in to know, can we come here too? Because Dr. Elijah Muhammad had already turned me on to our obligation to think big and try to work for big results. So I'm there. I've never seen a time in my life when I was not aware of our interests here as a people, not as individuals, not as temples, not as mosques or schools, but as a people. I never forgot that interest. So I'm there, I'm thinking at the way I've been conditioned to think. I'm conditioned to think for us as a people. So I asked the marketplace in Canton, China, Red China at that time, well, still Red China, I guess, mainland China. I asked them, I said, if one of us came here, I said, could we buy purchase here like I see this white man from the South doing? Now, that was many years ago. So America, U.S., and America and China was not on friendly terms, okay? But here it is. American white man from the South, I think he's from York, was there purchasing. So no law was preventing him from buying from Red China and taking it back home. So I told him, I said, could we come here too? He said, welcome. And the look in his eyes told me, we would much rather have you here than to have them here. They are not our friends yet. That's what I read in his eyes, you know. But we have nothing, no problem with you. You are our friend, you know. That's what I saw now. We like you blacks. Not Muslims. You actually we like you blacks, you know. That's what I saw in his eyes. And many soldiers have experienced that overseas, where they didn't blame their problems, whether it was economic problems or war, military problems. They didn't blame them on the African-American or the one from us that was over there, though we were over there serving the United States of America. They didn't blame us for it. Now, I don't think that this is my thinking. Everything I say is not my thinking. I just want to expose a lot of things to you. Any citizen that goes abroad and fighting in the United States Army should be blamed like any other citizen that's fighting in the war. We're not to be excused for nothing. But you could have got shot over here and said, I don't want to go. You could have got shot over here. So since you didn't want to get shot over here, then you should stand up for your flag over there. That's my belief. I believe in being a law citizen. If I'm a citizen in a dumb house, until we can make it a clean house for human beings that's not a dumb house, I'm going to fight for that dumb house until we can get the house we want. That's the kind of person I am. Yes. Okay. Yes, if I commit myself to something, I have to go all the way. I can't betray it. Now, we're talking about the global market. Red China is in a much better situation now, and U.S., in terms of relationship, much better situation now for us to do business with Canton if we want to. But we don't have to. We got so many markets that we can go to. And we have some very good friends. Don't think our friends are only Muslims. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said something, and I don't think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew anything about what I got in mind right now. I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, well, I don't know, maybe he did. I think he was looking at Mr. Farrar, his teacher. And his teacher told him, the man that we used to call Savior, God in the person, he told my father that if he would follow what he gave him, that it would put our people that followed him, believers, Muslims that followed Ali Elijah Muhammad, it would put us in heaven at once. Good home, friendship, plenty of money, good home, friendship in all walks of life. Now, you know, I know that was said to attract us and hold us, but let me tell you something. The man that told us that, he was not interested in money and clothing and physical home. He was interested in freeing our mind and our souls to be independent in our own thinking and in our own soul to go and compete with this world. He just wanted us to be removed of everything that made us doubt our own selves. Remove the stigma of Negro, nigger, black in a negative sense, and make it positive so it will work for us and free us to go and compete in this world with all other people. That's what he wanted, and he achieved it. Very, very difficult to understand when you're just looking at one thing he said. But if you look at everything he said, you will see a logic. And the logic is saying, more important is what's in here than what's out here. And if you can make what's in here right and free what's in here, you can compete with anybody out here in this world. I'm convinced that we can compete with anybody out here in this world. And if our hunger to prove ourselves, to prove our own worth, stays with us, maybe not in my generation, maybe not in my time, I should say, maybe not in your generation, the youngest one here, maybe not in your generation, but in time, 100 years or 200 years from now, if we don't lose this hunger and we remain decent-minded and innocent-hearted, we are going to become equal to the best and maybe better than the best that exists on this earth. It's in us. It's been put in us. Slavery burned in. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching reinforced the best that we wanted. He reinforced that in terms of our belief in ourselves that we can achieve for our own selves. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad did something to bury that in more, to make a deeper impression and a bolder one, a much bolder one. And it's in us, it's in my blood, it's in many of you, it's not going anywhere. It's in some of our people that don't call themselves Muslims, who have been touched by what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and our works have done in this United States of America and in some other places too. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad went outside of America with his teaching before he died. And it's not going to leave us, it's going to make us a giant of a people. A giant of a people. You insincere one, it's just going to torture you, that's all. The more we progress, the more you will be tortured. The flames of paradise for us is going to be the flames of hell for you. And it's going to remain that way, because anybody that deserves what we're doing and have shared our history of pain and suffering, of being put down as a people, and then having experienced what has happened to make us the new people we are, if you've been around and you saw that, you have nothing coming but hellfire if you don't join us and be sincere and straight. And that's the warning of Prophet Wallace D. Muhammad. That's my prediction. I have no authority in written books. Only authority is from my mouth. That's my prediction. They always said he's a prophet. If you don't understand how to read humor with language. Okay, now, let's come closer to home now, closer to home. We mentioned the global market, and what I said to you is that the global market welcomes all people, it welcomes all people. You're not discriminated against, you're not going to be discriminated against. You're going to meet some individuals that will dislike you because of you, or dislike you because of your identity with your people, or your religion, you're going to meet, that's going to happen forever. People are not going to be angels, they're not going to be perfect. But they're not that many. Why worry about those people? There are too many others to deal with that have no problem and welcome you. The only thing they see is another human being. And they are in the great numbers, not those people who still walk minded. So don't let that hold you back. The global market is open to all of us. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted us to go outside of the United States and have interest, business interest, in other countries. It was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who brought products from South America, Peru, the Whiting Agent G, Chinaware from China, some leather goods from Pakistan, some coffee from Africa, and many other things. We realize that under the leadership of Lord Elijah Muhammad. Now, we have an effort going again. That's a national and international effort, really, to improve the material state of our lives. Not doing it selfishly. We want our Christian neighborhoods to benefit from our presence in a Christian neighborhood. We want the town that we live in to benefit from our productive presence in that town. But the state, the whole country, we are not selfish. We are for humanity. Allah has freed us for humanity and has ordered us to be of service to all humanity. God has ordered us that. The Muhammad the Prophet stated it in his own words, "Khayrukum man yas'al-nas." The best and most useful of you is the one who is most useful to humanity, to all people. To all people. So we know where we are today. And we know that we were like a baby, like a human germ, a human seed, life germ, planted in the body of a woman and developing to one day be out of the small confines of her body and take its place in the world of mankind. The nation of Islam was like the body of a woman, and a germ was put in there to produce a new black man and a new black woman, sister. And it lived and it survived. And on a ninth hour, it was delivered into the world to take its place among the people of the world, mankind. Yes, that's what has happened. And we are now determined to do our best in our lifetime to realize our most as God-fearing people, looking to make not only a spiritual contribution, but a material contribution that will live many generations after we are gone, and I hope until the day that this world is brought to an end, I hope that we will not slow down or give up, but pass our interest on to our children as it was passed on to me from my mother and father and you all, and plan to live on this earth for as long as this earth lives. Or as scripture says, for long as the earth abides.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.